How y'all doing? I want to talk about a very humbling situation that occurred. And again, my heart goes out to the young man that was killed in the bus accident. And obviously, there was another gentleman that was killed in Texas due to this. I believe it was a cement truck that actually ran into the school bus, and then there was another vehicle that was traveling behind it. Obviously, that gentleman in that vehicle was also killed. So there's two people killed, and there were several people that was injured severely and had to be airlifted to the hospital. The guy that actually charged, because it took him some time to charge his gentleman. It took some time. I don't even know if he deserves the word to be called gentleman or what, but it took them some time to actually charge this guy for the accident, and this happened in Texas. The thing about it is that, you know, when I talk about you know, what people should be allowed to do on their off time and stuff. That does not waver. But and I've also stated clearly that I don't feel nobody should get in a vehicle under the influence of any type of drugs. And I always stated that there's such a wide gap with individuals who done something to. 3 weeks ago are usually punished, and that still remains. Well, you know, particularly they're held accountable when they go and obviously have to undergo SAP. But the interesting thing about this, when I say that there needs and should be testing as far as when somebody get into a commercial vehicle, that gap is closed as far as testing is concerned. Now, this guy apparently decided to refuse his drug tests. He did not take a test right away, and it can only bring me to the conclusion that he had something else in his system. Like, why would you admit to smoking marijuana the night before? That could have been the night before. That could have been 2 weeks before. It would have still been in his system regardless of what, but that doesn't mean he was actually under the influence. However, the fact that he delayed his test, I don't know exactly when he was tested, but he admitted to doing cocaine. He admitted to doing cocaine the morning of this tragic accident. He admitted to it. He possibly could have had other drugs in his system. He possibly could have had alcohol in his system. So when I talk about closing the gap and the testing allows somebody to be tested before getting in and starting up their vehicle, that would have played into account at that time if the testing was in place. Because when I tell you, now this wasn't a semi truck, but he was a CDL driver, I believe. But when, you know, those things, that gap is not closed when a driver is able to get in a truck. And I say this all the time. When drivers get into a truck, they can have a six-pack in their truck. you know, there's no gap that's closed on an individual that's getting a truck and under some possible under the influence of something other than marijuana. Now, is marijuana legal in a lot of states? Yeah. Is alcohol legal in a lot of states? Obviously. But is it legal to get in any vehicle in which you, you know, abuse something? No, when as far as like when you're on a job or something, you know, in my case, you know, that could possibly be along the lines maybe of abuse because you're actually, you're working. Just like alcohol, you know, you could buy it at any store or whatever, and you can get in the truck and because it is detection time, one is able to actually get in a truck with alcohol. And I've said this, and I just said this not too long ago. Like, the next accident involving alcohol, because they don't have the proper breathalyzers in trucks and stuff like that, you know, possibly alcohol if he's, you know, if he decides to get tested at that moment, because you could refuse to be tested at that moment, and then, you know, all of a sudden when they do decide to test you, you know, it's out of your system. He refused a alcohol test at that moment, being involved in this truck accident. And so who's to say, without his admission, who's to say he wasn't under the influence of alcohol? Because I find it very hard that he is going to, you know, refuse a test and then tell you he has marijuana in his system, which is something that you ultimately is going to find out anyway, regardless whether it was a week before they actually test him. It was like, oh, okay, you got marijuana in your system, but you don't have, you know, we test him. He doesn't have cocaine. He doesn't have, you know, any type of other hardened drugs in his system, which couldn't be held against him because he obviously, you know, refused to test at the time. And he was obviously, you know, alert and everything. So, you know, that's where I feel like the proper testing, when one get into a commercial vehicle, a truck, cement truck, actually school bus, semi, because this was an accident involving a school bus And a cement truck. I believe it was a cement truck. Excuse me if I'm wrong on that, but it was some type of a concrete truck, I believe, commercial concrete truck. Now, should the buses have had seat belts? Yes. I'm quite surprised that this bus did not have seat belts. I think it's just a no-brainer. I mean, that's just something that, you know, when we talk about safety, why isn't there seatbelts in a bus that's transporting kids? I mean, kids, they get up out their seat, and it doesn't necessarily, you know, it could have been a situation where a driver would have had to hit his brakes or hit her brakes, and then a kid go flying through a window or something. In a lot of cases, it may be a situation where it could have been an accident not involving this truck, in which a driver, you know, had to brake quickly, or even just in the case of this truck, kids flying everywhere. I mean, you would just think that would be a given. Like, you, as far as seatbelts with children, transporting children, you would just think that that's just common sense. I mean, we talk about common sense here. We talk about common sense there. We're like, why? That could have actually probably prevented this child's death. That could have been the cause of death, that there was no seatbelts in the school, in the actual school bus. Now, the accident, now, was he the blame for the accident? Yes, he was the blame for the accident, but was he the blame for the death of the child? The accident, one could argue the accident resulted in the death, yes, but not having seatbelts in a school bus is, to me, just seems like the bus shouldn't even been on the road. When you're carrying somebody else's children, somebody else's child, that is, you're transporting some other human being, particularly kids, why aren't they in a seatbelt? I mean, I was actually shocked to find that out. You know, that should be standardized as far as any child being transported. You know, they should be in seatbelts, period. Just because of situations like this. Just because of situations like this, kids should be in seatbelts. Particularly school buses. Now, if they had the proper testing in place, like obviously breathalyzer, maybe some other digital test that would have pulled up that, you know, would have allowed the driver, allowed the engine to shut down on the truck if the driver had been found to have been under some type of other drug or whatever. Because that truck would not have started if it would have had the breathalyzer. Because who's to say that this guy was not under the influence of alcohol? And I've said this over and over again. Why don't they close that gap if these people that hold CDLs or whatever the case may be, why don't they close that gap as far as, you know? Now, because this wasn't a situation just related to marijuana, and this wasn't a situation where he stated he did marijuana the day of. He was not intoxicated by marijuana, if just because he had it in his system. Marijuana was not the determining factor. He refused a test. At that time, that would have allowed him time for whatever was in his system to diminish by the time he had to take a test, meaning you can't substantiate the fact that he had other things in his system. Now, I'm not sure when they actually given him his test. However, he clearly stated the morning of, he did cocaine. That was just blatant. Like, I mean, why would somebody say, okay, I'm gonna refuse this test because I know that, you know, whatever it is in my system won't be there in a couple of days. I was by myself some time. But to admit to marijuana, he probably already knew that that was something that they gonna find in his system, you know. But that could have been something that he done 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 days ago. However, he said the night before. But he also stated, which I've said again, drivers don't get the rest needed. I believe he said he was working 14 hours, that could and didn't get enough rest, that could easily be related to the company as to why he didn't, him not getting enough rest, him not getting enough sleep or working over. And we all know that that is something that occurs when it comes to driving trucks. You know, although, you know, we have the 10-hour situation, all drivers are not, don't have the ability to drive 10-hour stretches. And you know what I mean? And this is what I said before, that like a lot of times if you're put in a situation and you as a driver have the ability to say no, it should never be questioned. It should never be questioned by a company. Drivers should never be threatened in any kind of way. Now, whether this guy had a history as far as in the past that was probably questionable. Okay, he may have had a history, but to me, everybody has to work. Everybody has to have a job. I'm not saying that, you know, the fact that he had a history really to me is almost pretty much a non-factor. As far as them hire him, if he was hireable, he was hireable. You can't put his driving skills, you know, his ability to drive on display because of something he may have had in his past or his history. And again, I'm not saying this guy is innocent. He's an angel by all means. And a lot of this could have been due to his own selfish, you know, decisions and choices that he made as well. But there could have been contributing factors. And that's something that when I say, like, you know, no matter what, everybody say it's the driver's fault. Yes, it could be the driver's fault, but it could be the driver's fault because he felt like the company was over pushing him and he wasn't getting enough rest and he wasn't getting enough sleep. Now, as far as, and what I want to say again, as far as the marijuana thing, I really just don't believe that's the determining factor. Because I believe if he smoked marijuana the night before, he would have been asleep and got plenty of rest. If you get ready to go to bed and you know you got to go to work, he would have gotten sleep. He would have smoked, and there's no way he's not going to get sleep after smoking. Now, the difference with cocaine has people wired, and maybe some other potential drugs that he may have been doing the night before is what actually kept him up, where he didn't get any sleep. You know, people tend to be like doing cocaine. That's why they say it's a party drug. Because people that do cocaine usually are up all night partying. And that could have potentially played into the situation with him not getting any sleep. I look at cocaine, obviously, as more of a hardened drug, unlike marijuana. Like I said, I don't know of any accidents that really, or just major statistical accidents that occurred off marijuana. And here, even though this was fatal, I still don't see marijuana as being the issue related to this accident by any means whatsoever. If the testing was in place and he got in that truck, and because he wasn't intoxicated by marijuana, you know, based off, you know, using it the day before. I mean, he wasn't intoxicated Was it in his system? Possibly. But you can't determine that marijuana was the determining factor as to what caused this accident. It could have been, like I said, crack, cocaine, because that keeps you up all night. It could have been some other type of drug that keeps you up where you're not getting to sleep. And working 14 hours, he might have felt like he needed to do these things. We don't know if there's an ongoing habit, but sometimes it's like I think people do that because it's like caffeine in a way. Because I feel caffeine is addictive as anything else, you know. Whether we're drinking it in a soda or whether we are getting it in coffee. Or even you know, people smokes, you know, cigarettes, it's nicotine. So, and the fact that the proper testing is not in place, it would have determined that. It would have determined whether he was under the influence. He knew that if he said he was not gonna take he refused it. Why would you refuse a test for something that you know that they can get from you in a week and still substantiate the fact that you've been smoking marijuana? It had to be something else that was in his system. And I blame that on the ability to test right away and again, okay, this guy may be a scumbag. He obviously was a scumbag for what happened, for what occurred. And again, my prayers go out to the family of, you know, particularly, you know, that child and the gentleman that was obviously, you know, also killed. This was fatal. This was a bad accident. Then there was many other people that was injured. But and I imagine the other people that was injured were probably other kids that was floating around this this bus without being strapped in. I mean, like that, what you would just think that is just like the common sense. Like kids, they'll get up out their seats and all kinds of stuff. They'll play, they'll get up all out of their seats, just, you know. Most kids are probably not doing, but sometimes something may have dropped on the floor. They'll get up and they'll do little things. And in the midst of that, simultaneously, you know, you could be hitting your brakes and all of a sudden that child goes flying. But without the ability to be strapped in as a child, that there's no excuse for that. Because, you know, again, the cause of he caused the accident. But not having seatbelts in a school bus is just, to me, ridiculous. That is just ridiculous. That should be mandated. And it's so crazy because we talk about all of mandating all these things as far as 2026, you know, putting all these, you know, breathalyzer, audio, video, recording data kept on people while they're driving, which to me is just another whole thing of, you know, control, obviously. I don't feel like, you know, that's really necessary. And it shuts off on you if you're driving a particular way and all this. Don't you think that would have came in handy in these vehicles? Don't you think that's something that would have came in handy in this truck? Don't you think that is something that this guy, if he would have been driving an erratic like that and, this new situation that Biden has implemented in the way of taking over a wheel, wouldn't that be something that you would want to implement in anybody driving a commercial vehicle versus their personal car? Because he would not have been able to get in that car or in that commercial truck and start it up if he was under the influence of alcohol or if there was some type of instant testing in the truck where before he started that truck up, he would not, the truck would have been disabled. The truck would have been disabled. So, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, moving ahead, there's a lot of things that could be, you know, looked at as far as, you know, this situation is concerned, because I feel there could have been safety measures taken on behalf of the truck, and there could have been safety measures taken on behalf of the bus that would have ultimately kept this child alive. This child would not have been gone, and the gentleman behind trailing, I believe this gentleman was trailing. When I seen the vehicle was totally demolished. I definitely can understand why nobody would have survived that situation, looking at how damaged that car was. Those are things that would have saved lives. And my stance on what I feel a person should be able to do on their off time does not relieve them of the responsibility that they have when they go to work. Because look at this. We have alcohol that is legal, and it doesn't linger in your system. However, he was possibly able to evade the fact that he could have been intoxicated as far as alcohol. I mean, he clearly admitted that he actually did cocaine the morning of. We're talking about hardened drugs, cocaine. And again, the fact that drivers are not getting the proper sleep and feeling overworked, you know, I mean, he almost kind of, even though that may be the case, a lot of times, you know, although he kind of like threw that argument out the window by, you know, his admission to doing cocaine. However, doing cocaine could have been a result of him not getting enough sleep and feeling like he needs something to keep him up. Well, I'm not saying it's right, and I don't agree with it, because by all means, when you're in a truck, you should be completely coherent. You shouldn't be intoxicated by liquor, by marijuana, or by cocaine, by opioids, by meth, by fentanyl. You shouldn't be intoxicated, period. So with me agreeing that things should be regulated as far as, like, you know, marijuana and alcohol, because like I said, marijuana is legal in a lot of states. They haven't, you know, at the federal level, you know, things still work to be done. But at the same time, alcohol is legal. He could have easily had alcohol in his system. And a lot of times, like I said, you know, with truck, this was a concrete truck or whatever. And there's no way, you see how, and I've said this before, and many other people have said this, you could go to a party on the weekend with your company and get sloppy drunk Friday after work, you know, or even Saturday morning, and get sloppy drunk, go home Sunday, you know, Saturday night, sleep it off. You know what I mean? And Sunday chill and return back to work Monday with no issue. And you could have drank your head off in front of your boss, your manager, or whatever, and they are aware of it, and they don't have an issue with that. They don't have an issue with that. You're fine. You're not going to be, nobody is going to, write you up. Nobody's going to terminate you. Nobody's going to, put you in any kind of database. And I said this before, it only occurs when something happened, when it comes to alcohol. And because something happened when it comes to alcohol, again, all a person got to do is just say, you know what? I'm not taking this test. They say, okay. So now you cannot, this day or two go by. And then when you're in jail, a lot of times it could be probably cold. So you're detoxing at that moment. So this time go by. So now they got you on, and this probably wasn't even because of the test. This was because of just his admission. They got you on marijuana, but not necessarily the alcohol that they could say that was debilitate you as well. They can't say that because there was no actual test that was actually given as far as that. But he could argue, I work a lot of hours. I did cocaine. I work a lot of hours, so I was tired and wasn't getting enough rest. You know, to me, the fact that he stated that he smoked marijuana the day before, he was not intoxicated. And it's completely irrelevant. Now, that's relevant about it is the fact that you can't even have it in your system. You know what I mean? But again, it doesn't mean he was intoxicated. And marijuana is just not something. When I said that people get in an accident and stuff most of the time in trucks, and you're not even seeing this in people's personal cars as far as marijuana. You see it more with alcohol and other drugs. Don't nobody just get into no accident just off marijuana. Just off marijuana alone. You don't see accidents occurring. People's like, oh my God, I was just so blah, blah, blah. I mean, even with all these studies, there's no real statistics that shows that, okay, he was intoxicated off marijuana and that was the reason for the accident. He might have had it in system, but that does not make a person, that is not, arguable to me. The standards that they have in place, you're at fault just because it was in your system. I can't buy that. Now, if he would have been going down the road and you get in an accident, then you could just smell aroma coming from the truck and you could smell it on him, his clothes and everything. And okay, you could see some type of contraband or whatever. Okay, you might have a case there. And again, this is not to provide any type of comfort to this guy. He obviously did something very horrible. But my point is just to, make everybody see things in contrast and look at all the possible options that could occur instead of everybody want to go and run to this. Oh, he was smoking marijuana. No, the marijuana could have not even played a part. It could not have anything to do with it. You don't see people just regularly getting into accidents due to marijuana. It's just not. You don't see people going down the road and falling asleep and driving and veering off in another lane due to marijuana, particularly if he smoked it the day before. He was probably up all night due to cocaine. He's probably up all night, You know, cocaine will keep somebody up all night. That's what a lot of the big shots guys in Hollywood and stuff like that, they you know, these and parties and you might even get people in rave parties, doing stuff like, ecstasy and maybe snorting cocaine and stuff like that because it keeps them up all night. It keeps them up all night. And at that point, if you're up all night, you're not getting no sleep. And if marijuana is something that you're going to smoke, particularly if it's night and you ain't got nowhere to go, that's going to relax you. You're going to smoke. You're going to feel relaxed. You're going to get you something to eat. Then you're going to go to sleep. You know, whether just cocaine was his choice of drug and that was his preference and that's what he does, recreational, or whether it was something that he did to try to keep himself up as far as driving a truck, because he clearly stated he did that the morning of. He did cocaine the morning of. So how are companies going to combat that when they know, when they already aware, look, here's a situation that just cost two lives. You have a driver who said he did cocaine the morning of. You have drivers who ride around with alcohol in their truck, and you guys are not doing anything to combat that. You just want to keep on giving marijuana a bad rap. What he stated he did the morning of is what he did the morning of this accident, not the day before. Just use a little common sense here. He did cocaine the morning of. And the thing about it is that these companies don't be oblivious to what's going on. You got, I said this a while ago. I was out west and I seen a driver driving so like at a crazy speed. I'm like, no way. He is not on marijuana. Drivers on marijuana are not doing that. They more alert. They pay more attention. They're actually paying more attention and they're not driving. They're cruising. They're doing the speed limit. They're more mindful. They're more attentive. You get people that are on alcohol, maybe cocaine or something like that. They more belligerent. Like I said, some of them, you can't even put a sloppy drunk person on a bicycle. You know, they'll fall off a bike. You're not going to get somebody on marijuana who can't even walk or ride a bike. Alcohol and other things, a combination of other hardened type drugs will do that to you. So I just hope that they look at this scenario. I believe this guy was charged with negligent homicide and, rightfully so. But it'll be interesting. You know, he was the cause of the accident. But, you know, even though that's what they charged him with, you know, was he actually the cause of the death? That could be argued one way or another, but I think is very important that all buses carrying children should in this case, because kids don't have the ability to react in that type of responsive way as far as grabbing something, trying to brace themselves when a truck is coming. You know, that bus driver, she did a very good job in avoiding the situation where it wouldn't have been worse, but she did the best she could with with the situation that was before her. However, seatbelts would have definitely, I think, made a big difference. And just knowing that you have children in there, they don't have the ability, they're not paying attention. The kids, their mind is somewhere totally else. You know, their mind is elsewhere on, playing with their little friend on the side of them on the bus or just being silly and stuff. They're not, they're in your hands as an adult when you're a driver And that driver, you know, she has that responsibility. It's not, I don't know if it was a lady, I believe it was a lady. It's not her fault that the bus are not equipped with seatbelts. She did the best she could within the situation that she was in, and I applaud her for that. But, yeah, this definitely, you know, could have been different. Well, like I say, if you guys decide to put these breathalyzers, these instant testing in commercial vehicles before they are allowed to take off, then you'll see how many more drivers that you will have out of this business, as far as, you know, the drivers who just have lingering THC in their system for something that they done a week, 2 or 3 weeks prior, or even a month prior, and it just lingered in their system, and they got caught up. And again, most of them drivers are good drivers. You could have, this guy had more to hide. That's why he didn't take a test right away, because he probably had more to hide, and there was in his system other than just cocaine. And that's is just the facts. He had something more to hide. And again, that could be blamed on the company, because they didn't take the steps. They didn't take the initiatives to make sure that they had the proper testing in their vehicles, be, you know, that would disable the engine from taking off. You know, that would have prevented that, you know, because, you know, these guys that are driving the commercial vehicles, you know, they, a lot of times, you know, they're a lot more bigger and heavier and stuff like that. And, you know, particularly a cement truck, any type of cement truck, there's a lot of impact involved. It's, you know, it's a very compact, and it is, and those are very heavy. They carry a lot of weight, you know what I mean? So again, I appreciate you guys listening to me. Prayers goes out to those who were involved in this situation, them families that you know, that's gonna be affected. That's not something that you expect, you know, going about your normal day, and to hear something like that is a parent, I can only imagine, you know, that how heart-wrenching that is, as well as the gentleman, because as a child, that man that was actually killed, you know, the you know, the stress and the, you know, the torment that'll come up on his children, if he had children, or his other significant other. So it's just a tragic situation all the way around. Prayers goes out to them, but I appreciate you guys listening to me. This is a very touching situation, but now what about the solutions and stuff? You already got this clearinghouse in place, so how did this clearinghouse prevent this from happening? It didn't. This clearinghouse didn't prevent this from happening. And I feel like you can completely do away with the clearinghouse and not and discriminate against drivers who are trying to get employed and work different places. You could do away with that and just implement testing in the truck that will ultimately disable a truck from even starting, like what Snyder already implemented these, you know, and they're talking about personal vehicles. Let's move along with the commercial vehicles and put them in commercial vehicles. It would have instantly disabled that truck. That truck wouldn't have started. That truck would have indicated right away, this gentleman is intoxicated. We won't start. would have sent back a report to whoever their safety department is. Instantly, that driver would not have been able to move that vehicle. And like I said, you're going to get that. It's better than, you know, you going and getting your truck from a certain location in the event, and we're talking big trucks now, in the event this, you know, a driver is, you know, at the moment under the influence, you getting that driver home and you going getting that truck and getting that load removed or moved for you, or getting somebody else take over that load. That sounds a lot better than somebody actually being murdered when and killed in a fatal accident, when you could have actually prevented the situation. And a lot of trucking companies, they should learn from this situation that just because those situations, those chosen drugs that are not recreational, you know, just because those things diminish out of your system within a certain amount of time, that does not mean that they actually have the right to let it slip between the cracks. Because when you let something slip between the cracks, then, you know, you open the door. So, you know, whoever is responsible, whether it's OSHA, Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, DOT, whoever's responsible for mandating those, insurance companies, you guys obviously play a big role. I think those are the people to blame. I think regardless of what this driver chose to do, or, you know, during the time he was in a vehicle, if you're aware of the fact that you may have this possibility, then, you know, and you see it and it's happening, it won't be the first, I'm sure it won't be the last. If you're aware of it, and safety is what you preach and safety is what you want, and you got over 100-some thousand drivers out now because of something that has not occurred and is due to safety, then I would think you would implement that situation. A driver get in the truck, can't start the truck up because of his current intoxication situation. Boom, immediately truck stop, out the truck, off the SAP. Just that simple. So even though they want to point the finger at the driver, and the driver do bear a lot of the responsibility, at the same time, you can have measures in place to prevent that. And again, get seatbelts in them school buses. I appreciate y'all. A1, y'all have a good one. Love y'all. Stay safe. Always diversity. Peace out.